Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Good morning, everyone. When I started as an engineer, one of my new colleagues took me out for coffee. And as we were chatting, the conversation with her eventually led to me telling her that I was a Christian. And the first thing she then said to me was, "Oh, that's great. Just don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite." Now, look, despite what it might sound like, we actually ended up having a very good working relationship. And that particular conversation, you know, somehow we were able to talk about some of the things Jesus says in this passage this morning. But it did reveal what many people think about religion. 2 years ago, a group called McCrindle published a report which surveyed Australians about how we perceive faith and religion. And one of the things that they found was that the second most negative influence that people had towards religions like Christianity was hypocrisy. You know, to be fake, to pretend, to say one thing but do the complete opposite. And I wonder, as we think about this passage this morning, what would Jesus have said if he did a survey like this? What would Jesus say about religion? Did you notice in our passage this morning how often Jesus spoke about hypocrites? He says, "Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't do these things as the hypocrites do." In this passage this morning, Jesus is warning us against hypocrisy. And brothers and sisters, we're going to get straight into this passage. And this passage is going to challenge us. It's going to challenge our hearts. It challenged my heart this week because it points us to what Jesus and the Father really care about. And it's something that our world, you know, is completely different to what our world cares about. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has spent time, we've looked over the last couple of weeks, teaching us how we as his people should relate to other people. But here, he moves on to teaching us how about our most important relationship, and that is our relationship with God himself. How we relate to God is actually at the heart of what Jesus' kingdom is all about. So let's stop again and pray for God's help as we hear these words from Jesus. Heavenly Father, may the word of your Son go not just into our heads, but into our hearts. And Lord, from our hearts to our whole selves. Amen. If you're following along in my outline in your booklets, we're at point one. Hypocritical religion is outside first. So verse one. Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. This opening verse really summarizes what this whole passage is all about. And Jesus then gives us three examples of how you might practice your righteousness in front of others. So giving, praying, and fasting. But he's not saying don't pray and don't give and don't fast. Did you notice he says when you give, when you pray, when you fast? So he's expecting his disciples to be doing these things. But Jesus cares about how we are to do these things. So he says, don't do these things like the hypocrites do. So, verse 2, when you give, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, on the streets, to be honored by others. And verse 5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Verse 16, when you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. What does it mean to give and pray and fast like the hypocrites do? Well, it's to do it in order to be seen by others. You see that? It's to give. My clicker's not really working. To be seen. It's to be seen doing these things. See, hypocritical religion, it's all about show. It's all about the outside and what people can see on the outside. It's outside first. The word hypocrite, it actually comes from the word actor. The best hypocrites are the best actors, aren't they? And look, you know, we've all seen it. The really humble brag, you know, I'm so humbled to be able to give to this great charity. Or, you know, the fake Instagram posts of your Bible open at a cafe, the coffee there, casually telling the whole world that you're having your quiet time. Notice it's the praise and honor of others. You know, what a devout, what a godly woman she is. What a really encouraging, devout brother he is. That's the reward, human praise. And Jesus is not saying, you know, if you pray like a hypocrite, then God's not going to answer your prayer. No, he's saying if you do these things just to get the praise of others, then that's really all you'll get. This is what he says, truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Hypocritical religion is all for human praise. And Jesus says, that's all you'll get. But why? You know, why is this the only reward they'll get? You know, what are they going to miss out on? Well, we need to hear the other side of what Jesus is saying. So he's saying, we're not to give, pray, fast like the hypocrites, but what are we to do instead? How are we to do these things instead? And that's our next point. Jesus' kingdom is inside first. Jesus cares more about what's going on inside us than what people might see on the outside. So take a look at verse 3. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Same with prayer. Verse 6, go into your room, shut the door. You know, don't need to show anyone. Fasting, don't make it obvious to others. Just make it obvious to God. And that's the thing. Who do you want to see you as you do these things? Is it God or is it others? Jesus is saying here, play to the audience of one. You know, God is the only one that needs to see. And do you see that? This is actually what God cares about. God tells Samuel in the Old Testament, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God looks at our hearts. That's what he cares about. His kingdom is inside first. But Jesus isn't forbidding us to pray publicly. You know, that's not the point here. God tells us to pray corporately elsewhere in the Bible. But if you pray more often, you know, in front of others, to be seen by others. If you pray more often in, you know, public than you do privately, well, what that, you know, what might that say about your heart? And what might that say about your relationship with God? Do you notice in this passage, Jesus spends way more time talking about prayer than any of the other two activities? Now, why is that? I wonder if it's because prayer is, I guess, one of the most inside things that we do. You know, what you pray for, what you pray for and how you pray, that really reflects the depths of your heart. You know, our prayers are like an x-ray into our souls. But not just that, prayer also reflects what we know and believe about God. So, you know, how you speak to someone, that reflects your relationship with them. You know, you speak to your best friend in a way that's different to how you speak to your boss or to a stranger. You know, how we speak to God reflects our relationship with God. It reflects what we believe and know about Him. And did you see that in verse 7? Verse 7, Jesus says, "When you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words." Now, what's wrong with babbling? You know, I used to think that it was, you know, about praying with really big words to show off how clever you are and all that. But Jesus isn't quite talking about showing off. You know, He's already done that earlier in verse 5. I think in verse 7, it's a different issue. What is wrong with babbling? Well, He says, it's if you think that God is more likely to hear you just because you use more words in your prayers to Him. So imagine imagine a uni intern on their summer placement at a big company, and they get invited, like everyone else does, to the Christmas party at the Hilton. And, you know, by chance, at the party, as they're going to get another drink, they run into the CEO and they have this kind of brief interaction. And the intern, he's just an intern, he sees it's the CEO. And he gets really nervous and really excited at the same time, and he just kind of yabbers away, babbling on, you know, about business, about things he doesn't actually know about, to the CEO, because he's just trying to impress him. And it's because there's no relationship there, is there? There's no relationship with the CEO. And how he speaks, it reflects that. He's trying to build a relationship that's not there at the moment. And how you speak to God, it reflects your relationship with Him. And you see that Jesus, in this passage right here, the alternative to that kind of intern to CEO babbling, the alternative to that is the Lord's Prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer that Jesus gives His disciples to show us what it looks like to have a real and a right relationship with God. And look, I know we pray the Lord's Prayer here every week, don't we? And as we do that every week, it can be tempting to, I guess, let it be robotic and meaningless. But as I was looking at it this week and studying it, it was like, you know, re-listening to a Beethoven sonata that you've just heard so many times and just realizing, rediscovering what a masterpiece it is. So why do we pray this prayer at church every week? We're at point 3. The kingdom is first about our relationship with the Father. And the Lord's Prayer, it shows us this. You know, this is what a right relationship with God sounds like. Now, so take a look at the first 3 requests. Jesus says, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done." You know, when we pray, it's often about my kingdom, isn't it? It's about my will that I want to be done, my name that I want to be glorified. Hypocritical religion, it's all about me. But you see that Jesus is teaching us here to take ourselves away from being at the center of our own universe. God has to be at the center. God has to be first. It's all about His name to be hallowed. His kingdom is the one to come. His will, not our will, is the one to be done. See, when we understand who the God of the Bible is, the great, majestic, awesome Creator, sovereign, the one in charge over everything, then that's where we must start. He has to be first. We have to start with Him before we even get to ask things for ourselves. But that doesn't mean we can't ask things for ourselves. And Jesus is teaching us here in this prayer. But notice the things that Jesus is teaching us to ask for. So firstly, he says, "Give us today our daily bread." When I was studying at UNSW, there was a Christian couple who came from Zimbabwe, and they were training at the uni church to eventually be sent off back to Zimbabwe as pastors. And I remember we kind of asked them, you know, what's one of the differences that you notice between Australian Christians and African Christians? And here's what they said. They said, when you guys in Australia say grace, you know, before you eat, you guys don't really mean it. You know, but when we say grace in Africa, we really mean it, because sometimes we might not actually have another meal that day. You know, here you've got Woolies, you've got Coles, you know, you feel like you don't need God for food. And that really challenged us. You know, that we get to wake up every day, that we get to take another breath, that we get to move and eat and drink, all of these things that we take for granted, that all of that comes from God. That's the first thing that Jesus asks us to pray for. And the second thing that Jesus teaches us could be even more easy to brush over. Forgive us our debts. See, as you come to know who the God of the Bible really is, a holy, just, perfect God, then you just have to ask him for forgiveness. You know, when we come before this God, a holy, just God, we need to confess that we haven't treated him as he deserves. But as you come to know this God that Jesus is teaching us to pray to, you find that forgiveness is there. We can ask for forgiveness because he offers us that. And that's actually the starting point as we learn to forgive others. Jesus mentions that in the next few verses. And Jesus will explain later on in Matthew that it's virtually impossible to forgive others fully unless you yourself have experienced the forgiveness of God. But you see how these two requests so far just kind of put us in that posture of humility before God. And it's the same with the last one. Jesus teaches us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. See, when you look at the world through God's eyes, through the lens of his kingdom, then temptation and evil are actually some of the worst dangers that are out there for us. You know, we might want to ask God to not lead us down the road of failure or bad health or unhappiness. But do you see, Jesus is teaching us something different here. See, our relationship with God, and that's what the kingdom is all about, and that's what those in the kingdom have to care about first. And temptation and evil, they're things that really affect our relationship with God. And so just as we're dependent on God for food and for forgiveness, we're also dependent on him to keep us away from evil. Do you see so far how Jesus is teaching us in this prayer, you know, how we should relate properly with God? But you know what? The most amazing line in this prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, is none of these things that we've actually looked at. It's the very first line, our Father in heaven. It's that we get to call this awesome, sovereign, creator, majestic God, our Father. You see how Jesus refers to God in this passage? Every time it's your Father in heaven, your Father who is unseen, your Father. Every time, he doesn't even use the word God. We have a Father in heaven. That's what Jesus is saying. That's our relationship with God. He is our Father. And Jesus isn't saying that you have to pray and give and fast the right way in order for God to be your Father. No, he's saying, because God is your Father, well then, why do you need to do all these things like the hypocrites do? Why do you need the praise and honor of other people? You already have the Father. And the gospel is actually in verse 9. Have a look at verse 9. Verse 9, really? Not so much the words of verse 9, but the action that Jesus is doing in verse 9. See, Jesus isn't just teaching us to pray to God as Father. In verse 9, Jesus invites us. He tells us, he allows us to call God our Father. In the Alpha course that we're running at the moment, there's a story about a Union soldier in the American Civil War. And, you know, he tragically lost his father in the war, and he wanted to go home to help his mum with the farm. And so he makes this trek to Washington, D.C. to ask the president for exemption from war. But when he gets to the White House, an official blocks him and says, no, no one's allowed to see the president uninvited. And so the soldier's turned away. And he's dejected. He sits down in the garden outside crying. A young boy sees him and comes up to him and asks, oh, what's wrong? And so this soldier, you know, pours his heart out to this boy. And at once, the boy gets up and he says, come with me. He grabs the soldier's hand, drags him back into the White House, through the front door, you know, past the same official as the one before, and goes straight upstairs to the president's office. He doesn't even knock on the door. He just opens it, barges straight through in front of President Abraham Lincoln, who then looks up and says, oh, hi, son. What can I do for you? And the boy says, Dad, this man here wants to speak to you. See, because of Jesus, the Son of God, we can come to the Father and have a relationship with him. Jesus later says, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus gives us the right to become children of God. That's why, you know, every time we pray here, we say it's through Jesus alone that we can pray to God, not as strangers, not as enemies, but as our Father, because that's the gospel. We have a relationship with the Father because of what Jesus did on the cross. And we can see the Lord's Prayer in light of the cross. You know, the one who teaches us to say, your kingdom come, was the one who, when he was tempted by the devil, chose not to have his own kingdom without the Father. The one who teaches us to say, your will be done. He cried out to his Father in Gethsemane as he faced the horror of the cross. He cried out, not my will, but yours be done. The one who teaches us to ask for our daily bread, he gave up his own body as bread to be broken for us, that we might feed on him by faith with thanksgiving. The one who teaches us to ask our Father for forgiveness, he himself took on the wrath that we deserve for our sins, so that we can be forgiven. And the one who teaches us to ask, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Well, in his glorious resurrection, he did defeat the evil one. And he gives us his Spirit to cry out, Abba Father, to lead us in our fight against temptation and the devil. The most important relationship is between us and the Father, and it's through Jesus on the cross, the perfect Son, that we can come to the Father as his forgiven and beloved children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you deserve all our praise and glory. Thank you that you seek a relationship with us. Thank you that you sent your Son so that we can be your children. Thank you that you sent your Spirit so that we can cry to you, Abba Father. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't treat you the way you deserve. Thank you for the forgiveness that you offer us in your Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.